In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of God's Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. As we come sliding into these last few Beatitudes, we find ourselves at number 6. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Two things come to mind when thinking about that. Two questions I suppose that most people have asked at one point or another. First, what does it mean to be pure in heart? And second, well, what does God look like? Our scripture reading this morning from Psalm 24 gives a description of the pure in heart, right? Which Vicki read for us, and it says, "Who can ascend the Lord's mountain? Who can stand in his holy sanctuary? Only the one with clean hands and a pure heart. The one who has not made false promises. The one who has not sworn dishonestly." If we remember that, like so many other sets of rules in the Bible, the Beatitudes are split in two, where the first four are about how we relate to God, and the second four are about how we relate to each other, following that same model of love the Lord your God and love your neighbor. Maybe what it looks like in 2019 Middle Michigan, Gratiot County, maybe what it looks like to be one with clean hands and a pure heart, maybe it looks like not living two lives. Well, now, Pastor, what do you mean by that? Okay, try this on. I know I am sometimes guilty of being one way outwardly, but having another thought inside. And if we're honest, most people are the same way. Maybe it goes back to that other beatitude, right? Maybe we're not comfortable being meek, right? Because we remember, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. We remember that meekness, according to what Jesus was saying, was the ability to fess up and to own up to how we have been wrong in our relationship with God. Maybe we put on that other face and are lacking in being pure in heart because we haven't learned yet how to say, be merciful to me, a poor and miserable sinner. We can claim it in our hearts. We have no problem praying a prayer of confession. We may even run through a list of things we did questionably during the silent confession. But God help us if somebody, or well, more God help the other person, if somebody comes up to us and calls us out on a wrongdoing, right? So maybe being pure in heart goes hand in hand. We remember that, you know, some scholars say that each one builds on the previous one. And so by the time you're doing Beatitude number 6, you've already learned and have ingrained yourself with 1 through 5, maybe being pure in heart looks like walking the walk and talking the talk. Maybe pure in heart looks like helping at the pantry, but also praying for the people who come to the pantry instead of saying things like, well, I don't need to say any more than that, do I? Maybe it looks like sitting down to coffee with somebody you'd really rather not talk to and not bad-mouthing them after they've left. Maybe it looks like sitting down to coffee with that person and giving them the benefit of the doubt and actually listening. See, when Jesus said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God," I have a feeling that what Jesus was talking about was God already knows, right? You can't hide your inner feelings and your inner thoughts from the one who created you. Do you not owe it to your neighbor to be honest with them? Do you not owe it to your creator to be honest about yourself and how you relate? Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. And the psalmist tells us that only the one with clean hands and a pure heart, and then it's indented, so you know this is the definition of what he said before, the one who hasn't made false promises and the one who hasn't sworn dishonestly. Remember the cartoons when somebody'd be making a promise, but what were they doing? Crossing their fingers behind their back, right? Meant they didn't mean it. How many of us cross our internal fingers, right? Oh, I've done it. And if you're honest, so have you, right? It's one thing to be on the side of the one who has the fingers crossed. It's another to be the one standing on the receiving end of that. Amen? It's a different thing to be standing there and going, I don't think that person's being entirely honest with me about how they're feeling. My spidey senses are tingling here. Something's not right in Denmark, right? Perhaps being pure in heart, being that which we relate with one another. Maybe, just maybe, it's about being honest. And maybe it's in being honest and meeting people where they are. And being with people just the way they are. And hoping that people and expecting people to accept you just the way you are. Maybe it's in that interaction that we see God. Right? It's Trinity Sunday. This is the Sunday where we recognize that we worship a triune God. God in three persons, blessed Trinity. We understand, or we try to understand, that God, there are many different ways we relate to God. First person of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Creator, who created all things. Omniscient, omnipotent, the whole nine yards. All of those big fancy words Handel used, right? That's the first one. The second one. The person of Christ, fully human, fully divine, God incarnate, walking among us in this mortal mess, understanding what we feel, giving the ultimate sacrifice for us, and then laughing in the face of death. The brother, the savior, the redeemer, the teacher, the Christ. And then you've got Holy Spirit, the wind, that moving force that blows through a crowd of people and reminds them that God is, period. That inspiring force that teaches us to use our gifts, and we have got to quit thinking of our spiritual gifts as being able to kick a soccer ball. I mean, that's part of it, but spiritual gifts also include, well, your God-given gifts also include the ability to sit and listen to somebody. The ability to pick somebody up when they've fallen down. The ability to be just exactly who God created you to be. Holy Spirit, the one who inspires us, who surrounds us, who stays between you and I until we meet again, who reminds us constantly that we are carriers and bearers of the light of Christ, and that we are called to carry that light into the times of darkness and the places of darkness, and to call out those who sit in darkness and say, come, follow me. I know the way to where the candle's at. We relate to God in those three different ways, but it's the same God who's worshiped. It's the same God who does all these things. Maybe, perhaps, just perhaps, if we can remember that we are poor in spirit, if we can remember that we should be mourning the things that keep us away from God, if we remember to be meek and to remember that, yeah, we fall short of the glory of God, we're human, but own up to it. Maybe if we remember to hunger and thirst for what God calls is right, maybe if we remember to be merciful, maybe if we walk the walk and talk the talk that our hearts internally are beating, then ours will be the kingdom of heaven, and we will be comforted, and we will inherit the earth, and we will be filled, and we will be shown mercy, and we will see God. Somebody told me years ago, and it might be a song. It is a song. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. Pretty sure it's in our songbooks. But that's the one that has the line about, I see God in every face, right? I can hear the brushes of angels' wings. I see glory on each face. Surely the presence of God is in this place. If you are living a life that the Beatitudes are talking about, if you are living in a way where you are pure in heart, look around, brothers and sisters. You'll find God. I guarantee it. I saw God in the fireplace room while we were making blankets for kids to be in the hospital. I saw God when church grandmas and my nieces were tying blankets together. I see God on Wednesday morning when people are helping people in need go through the pantry. I see God when our teams get together and when our session gets together and we work for the betterment of this place so that we can be better stewards and be better disciples and be better bearers of the light. I see God. I saw God out at the playground at the Church of God on Friday when other kids decided to include my girls in their play. Live a life where you are pure in heart. Be honest. Be honest. If something isn't sitting right with you, be honest about it. It's not an invitation to treat people like a doormat. Not by any stretch. And it is not permission for you to lay down and be a doormat, because that's abuse and that's a whole different conversation. But this is all about how you relate to God and consequently how you relate to your neighbor around you. We are called constantly. How many times in the Bible are we told what to do with our neighbors? Love our neighbors. Feed his sheep, clothe his sheep, be together, go to those who sit in darkness, share the light of God. How many songs do we know that are like that? The one that comes to mind, hide it under a bushel, won't let anyone it out. I'm going to let it shine. It shines best when you follow what you've been taught. And more than what you've been taught, what you know. Every last one of us in this room has been doing church long enough. We know. We got to get it from here down to here. Sometimes it bounces back and forth, right? You've had it in your heart, and then somehow it manages to make its way back to your brain and out of your heart, right? We have to work on keeping it here, being pure in heart. I love you, why? Because God loved you first. Because God loved me first. We preach these things, we share these things, we learn these things so that we all can be better. And so we all can do better at proclaiming the gospel and sharing the truth we know. So go work on being pure in heart. It's not easy. Not a single one of these things is easy. Because we get too much in our brains and we listen too much to society who tells us, you have to believe this and you have to believe that and you have to act this way and you have to say that and you have to stand on this soapbox and you have to do this and that and that. Do what God has told you to do. What's the greatest commandment, friends? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. Go and do likewise. Amen.